Welcome to the Football Podcast. This is your host, Mr. Number 9.
And this is The Fool.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our first podcast of the season, season preview of the EPL, as per tradition.
As per tradition. First podcast of the EPL season. Second podcast of our season.
Yes. So, football in the post-COVID environment. Like, it's going to be fun. Like, we're going to give you a huge asterisk when we start talking about transfers, because at the moment there's two earthquakes in world football. There's COVID and Messi wants to leave Barcelona.
Oh my god, what the hell is that?
And now? Messi wants to leave Barcelona might be a bigger thing in the football world than COVID.
It's definitely a bigger talking point. It's crazy, just the concept that he wants to leave, and like he's gone far enough to actually not just saying it, he has sent in his request and it's been faxed.
Yes.
Geofax or whatever it is, so that they have to sign it. So, you know, he's actually gone all hulk on it, you know, which is pretty much downplaying any rumours that it might be all a power play to get rid of managers and whatnot. But, you know, he has activated the clause. There's a little bit of legality around whether the clause he's activating is still valid, because it was meant to be activated before first week of June, I think, like June 10th or something like that. But the season was ongoing, and when it was first set, that clause was meant to be like 2 weeks after the season ended. And it may even have it written in that it's 2 weeks after the brackets, the 10th of June. But now it's, so then he's activated it 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks after the actual end of the season. But that's obviously after, that's COVID, you know, after the date that's in the contract. So which one is correct? Is it 2 weeks after the end of the season, or is it the 10th of June, whatever the date was?
I think at the end of the day, as we said, Barcelona can't argue. And if it's written as concrete as that, that it's 2 weeks, I don't think Barcelona have a choice. He's going to leave on a free transfer.
It has to go to the courts. Because as I understand it, it's got both. But at the same point, what's Barcelona going to do? Keep Messi when he's said, I want to leave, I don't want to play for you? I mean,
like, it's a $100 million contract, weekly contract, that would be burning a hole through their pocket.
Exactly. So, and he's not going to play, right? If he said, I'm going to leave.
If he goes, do we think if Lionel Messi does not have a transfer fee, that's just because that's a different scenario to the other, can he basically just go, yep, you're paying me anywhere between 100 to 110 million a week because, you know, I'm moving clubs and I don't have a transfer fee, so you should be, you know, willing to pay that.
Yeah, I think, yeah, if there's no transfer fee, then the club that's picking him up is paying his full wage.
Wage and maybe a bit of a raise.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the only time to do that is if no club says that's where he'd start, right? He'd stand 110, 120 million a year, saying, well, that's what I'll be paid, I'm worth it, obviously, people have been paying me it, so pay it. If no club came through and went, no, we're not, nobody said, oh yeah, we'll pay that, which I think is extremely unlikely. There are several clubs that would be like, yeah, Messi on a free just for 110, 120 million a week. Sure, no, we're signing that check right now. Here you go. For argument's sake, the only time it will drop is if no club would pay that money.
Financial fair play-wise, only Manchester United can just add another 100 million to their pay.
Without dropping someone, yeah.
And still stay under 40% of their spend, which is ridiculous.
I haven't looked to see what Chelsea's at. But we can't be too far. I know we made some big signings just recently, so that'd be what tipping us over. But we can't be too far off either. I mean, it's not like we've
Chelsea
got huge waves,
would have to be very frugal for the next 2 years if they got Messi, and that's fine. Like, they can handle that because they've got a good youth team. But Chelsea is probably and it's got some good players, so Messi might be interested in going there. But and I think Messi improves Manchester United the most of all the teams. Because I think that his style suits Manchester United and might actually make United into contenders next season.
I agree. I think, despite, you know, wanting Messi in my own club, style-wise, personnel-wise, everything-wise, United actually is the better fit for him. It seems to fit.
Yeah.
he'd walk in, he would be undisputedly the top player there. The team would be reformed around him, so, you know, he gets all the ego booster stuff. It's to say that the Man United play the style that would suit him. They have the players.
Because basically, we need three attackers. We wouldn't need Sancho for getting Messi, because... So, 100 million, and Sancho would probably go to City. Or whoever gets Messi will probably have the other get Sancho, because you have to. Messi at United works really well, because he'd have Marcus he has Martial as his striker and Marcus Rashford on the other wing.
Those three
are just going to be a nightmare if they get together.
That seems to be the Chelsea, is that, you know, what do we have, like 11 attacking midfielders playing? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Not that I don't want him, and obviously if wherever Messi goes, Messi plays. It's not a he doesn't sit on the bench, but it's not like we don't have all the players that play in the same positions.
At City, he'd be very good, but I don't think he improves City as much as he improves United. He'd be very, very good at City. He'd basically be replacing David Silva.
Yeah. I mean,
and ironically, probably an upgrade on David Silva, who is a great player.
Exactly. But yeah, City fits.
City are paying, getting Messi, and especially if they have to pay 100 to 150 mils in transfer fee for Messi, they're probably not getting a big name centre back or
a big name
player in another position. They might get a young player, but they're not going to get any big name players. And they might have, so we might see them actually promote a few defensive players from their youth team.
Yeah, I mean, with City, I think they'd have to
offload as well.
That's offload some players anyway, so it'd be who goes the other direction to Barcelona as well. So,
yep,
I mean, they might be able to free up enough wage budget to get someone, get a decent centre back as well, but I think you're right, it's going to be youth. It's Messi plus youth for the City.
Like, the only club who could basically pay him 100 plus million a week and pay 150 million transfer fee and not impact their financial fair play is Manchester United and PSG.
And PSG.
And basically City, because they've proven that, like, they went to court and financial fair play couldn't get them.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, even with Messi, I think City would have to be showing some good, something, you know, that's, if they don't make any other changes, the FIFA or UEFA will be like, yeah, something's up there. You can't have Messi and all these others. But it just depends. Someone would, with City, someone would be going there, and same with PSG, someone would be going the other way. And it just depends who that is.
If you're Barca, do you, and PSG are going, would you take Neymar? Would Neymar go back to Barca?
I think that's the bigger question. I think if you're Barca, yes, that's your, you know, fine. What? PSG, if you want it, then you get Neymar back. The question is if Neymar says yes or no. And
if PSG gets Luis Suarez, and Manchester United are potentially also looking to get Luis Suarez, would City go, if Suarez goes to PSG, surely you'd get Messi there as well. Like, Messi would just move. He'd maybe even take a pay cut to go to PSG for that, because that's a Champions League team.
Yeah, exactly. It's quite likely. I would say yes. Like, my money, if I was going to put money down on things, I'm putting PSG. To me, that seems the place most likely to be able to afford any transfer fee, afford his money, be able to soak up players going the other way or releasing players to keep under FPA and still have a good team and be Champions League contenders again next season that Messi will want to play it. I mean, Man City's the only other one, and that's because it's Pep and Aguero. I mean, that's the selling points for City, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And him playing with Aguero, because we all know Lionel Messi wants to have one last good World Cup at Qatar in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on how that goes, he may go to the World Cup in the US, but he knows 2022 is his last chance to be there at, and still be at a decent shape.
Yeah, that's his last big one. If he goes any after that, it's...
I think Argentina are planning to do well in that World Cup, they need to have Aguero as well.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't see any other strikers coming up in Argentina's system who can do what Messi and Aguero can do together.
No, like, no. I think that's, say, 2022 in Qatar, that's Argentina's, that's their last one. They'll have both Messi and Aguero at peak, as much for still within peak zone. So that, yeah, they've got to aim for that, put those two at the front and then build the team around that. And yeah, so from an Argentinian point of view, sure, getting Messi to cities is good. You get several years of him working alongside Aguero all the time. That can only be good for the Argentinian national team.
Yeah.
But I suppose if he goes to PSG, he's got Di Maria, so, I mean, it's that also works, so, who knows.
It does also work. Well, now let's actually preview things that are slightly closer to ground. How will COVID affect the coming season?
I think that's the big unknown.
No crowds at the stadiums.
Yeah, that's big.
And I think would it be unfair for if, for example, things were to clear up and we could allow more gatherings, would it be unfair to allow teams to have crowds later on? Like, to get it, because they'd have a competitive advantage, right?
Yeah, that's going
to
be interesting.
I think you need to have no crowds all season.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
I mean, it's unlikely they're going to have crowds in the season anyway.
Oh, no, it's
but
extremely unlikely. I mean, if they're going to get crowds back, it will be... That's going to be the problem. If they get crowds back, it will probably be post-Easter next year.
But
which will be relegation / champions / champions, you know, fourth spot playoffs, European playoff spots, contenders, wherever it's all coming down. And so suddenly the teams that are playing their home games against those rivals in the second half of the season get a slight advantage. But it's definitely an unknown, and that's another unknown. Like, do they get crowds back? Does that impact? They've shown before that there is a boost to the home team with the crowds.
Yeah.
It's worth a little bit, but it's worth something. I think it's worth a quarter of a point or something like that, or half a point.
Definitely worth it. Maybe. But can you imagine if, like, just aside from EPL, can you imagine a Super Bowl with no crowds? Why would you even bother having one?
Is it a Super Bowl without crowds? I mean, Super Bowl is about all the people in the halftime show, right? And occasionally somebody throws a...
Okay, maybe no halftime show for whatever reason. Like, okay, fair enough. Because expecting a performer like of that caliber to spend 2 weeks in quarantine before performing is a lot to ask for. But heck.
Oh, I suppose they could do a virtual type halftime show where they just beam it in onto screens and the thing. Like, the performer doesn't have to be in the stadium, right? Especially if you don't have crowds there. Then
true.
That would be a crazy Super Bowl. I mean, American sports are going to be crazy anyway.
But we'll look at that later.
Yeah.
Going back to APL, no crowds. It's going to be interesting. Next of all, transfers. Chelsea are a bit of an edge case in this scenario. They had money because they couldn't spend any money last season.
Yeah.
And they sold Eden Hazard for a lot of money. And so right now they had money to spend on getting the players that they did as soon as the transfer window opened. And unless if Messi doesn't go, and if United don't get Jordan Sancho, then probably Chelsea will have had the best off season, and could even maybe compete for a second place spot.
I think we'll do reasonably well this year. Potentially second place spot is a possible outcome, or first, but. I still think, even with our transfers, City and Liverpool are still going to be a step above, unless something falls apart for them. And maybe the crowds, lack of crowds, start having an impact, and that works. Who knows? But still a young team for Chelsea, so even with the transfers coming in, and your transfers, I think it's still another season of getting the experience into the young kids, getting the experience in, and then maybe next season. I think it's still another season of building.
I think so.
Yeah.
Same with Manchester United. I think unless they get Sancho, they're not really going to compete. But if they get Sancho, they'll probably be very... They might even very comfortably compete with Chelsea for that third spot. Because they had a good team around and everybody's coming out from injuries. And United always have good players coming up the ranks of their youth team. And they will get a few players here and there. I can't imagine that United will not get at least a centre-back.
Yeah,
we
exactly.
Need so much. But at least a centre-back or Sancho. One of the two we should have.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope. I would hope.
You would think so. United never do badly the transfer window. Generally, their main targets are acquired, so I see no reason why it won't happen this time either.
Mm. City are in a precarious position because they just managed to win their financial fair play in a case, but they are being watched at like a hawk by UEFA.
Yeah.
So they, it really depends on whether or not they get this Messi move through, and if they do, do they get anyone else, or do they just promote from within? Like, I'm not saying they won't get nobody, because they might get young players who are under 10 million.
Yeah.
Here and there on, like, the equivalent of City rookie contract, you know?
Yeah. That's the same as the U team promotion, right, at that point. I mean, you get someone slightly better than a 18-year-old, but, or 19-year-old, but basically the same concept.
And even if they don't get Sancho, United will probably get either someone like James Maddison or Jack Grealish in that right-wing position, I think. City, though, probably need a centre-back as well. And I can't see them not address that problem, even with Messi.
Yeah, anything. Like, if, I think with City, it's just kind of said before. They'll get a centre-back. If they really want Messi and try for it, they'll probably get Messi. And it's because PSG outbid them. That's the thing. It comes down to if City generally want Messi and actually try, then they get Messi. Between City and PSG, with those two, if either of them want to try and actually throw money at it and be like, we're actually seriously bidding here, then it's one of those two. And it's just down to which one of those two wants it more, is willing to pay more per week, basically. And how they can jumble the jigsaw pieces around to fit under FBA stuff. But, yeah, and that's where the unknown with City, the City transfer thing. They're going for Messi, and they get Messi, and who do they get rid of? They'll need a centre-back, they'll get a centre-back as well, so...
Slight mistake we've made this podcast, which we should probably correct now. We were saying he's 100 million a week. No, he's 100 million a year player.
Oh, yeah.
He's not. Yeah. He does not earn $1 billion a year. Because that would be a lot even for a football player.
Yes, it'd be a lot for 100 million a week, is it? 100 million a year. It's a lot of money.
A lot of money to leave on the table.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's the axe, not really an axe, but the big hammer hanging over the transfer window at the moment throughout all of Europe. It's, you know, where does Messi go? How does that mess around with that team's finances? It's obviously, that's a lot of money going to one player. And to keep under UFPA rules, you know, you're going to have to get rid of someone else. Then.
Would Messi, just for kicks, take a cut price deal if he gets off on a free and join Cristiano Ronaldo at Juventus?
Definitely a possibility, and it's not like Juve don't have the cash floating around for it, and I'm sure they could pull together the numbers to show that it fits within FPA. I mean, say they got Ronaldo, so if they get Ronaldo, they can get Messi.
Yeah, I don't think Juve have the funds to pay 100 million for Messi and pay Messi 100 million a season.
No, Juve's in the running, if it's a free,
I think you have to be paid whatever Cristiano Ronaldo's being paid, then it's okay. Because obviously, it's not like Messi will come in and get paid 100 million a week, and Cristiano's on 80 million. Cristiano then will have to be given a $20 million raise.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's probably got a clause saying he's got to be the best paid player, club.
Almost guaranteed that clause is in there.
So,
I mean, the other option, and I mentioned to you earlier, but I'm going to mention on the podcast now, is RB Leipzig, because it's Red Bull, and so they're sure to be able to show that they can fit, you know, 100 million a year under their FPA requirements, and Red Bull might just be like, you know what, we can pay 200 million transfer, any of these problems, we'll just pay the transfer, we'll just pay some transfer money, we'll pay him his money, it's fine. I mean, and, you know, they were semi-finalists for Champions League, so not like they're a bad team. It's always a possibility. Very outside possibility, but...
Absolutely.
And it requires Red Bull to just be like, you know what, yep, we're doing it.
But if we're going into these ridiculous categories, what are the likelihood that a team actually just pays Barca the 700 million buyout clause and then takes Messi for and keeps him on 100 million a year?
Oh, that would be crazy. Who knows? But if we're that crazy category, I think the only team is that crazy is Leipzig, because it's Red Bull. And
or
even though Red Bull, I mean, they're crazy.
I could see Manchester United do that. I could see Ed Woodward going, yep, that's a good deal. I'll take it.
Maybe. 700 million euros. I don't know.
You can buy an MLS franchise for that.
Exactly. That's the thing. I think City and PSG both, that's too much for them, which is why it's set that high, right? It's meant to be so crazy high that even the ridiculousness of PSG won't pay it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they had to set something higher than what the craziness that could happen would go to. I don't see City or PSG going, you know what, we'll just pay the 700 million. They might, if they wanted to beat the other one and be like, you know what, we're going to solve all your problems, Barcelona. Just have your 700 million and it's fine. It might be that if they just don't want to deal with the wage battle that happens if Messi goes on a free. Because that's the thing, like, if Messi gets out on a free, his wage,
well,
wherever he goes, will be more than 100 million a year.
Yeah.
Because the teams will battle each other to pay him, because then it becomes who will pay him the most a year. And so it will end up 120, 130, 150.
He could easily earn 200 million a year.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's what happens with transfer fees.
So I guess that's the thing. Like, how long?
Or maybe 200 million this year, in terms of salary and the sign-on bonus.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's going to get a sign-on bonus.
Obviously.
If he's got no transfer fee, and then after that, if he's on 100 million a year, probably 150 million a year at that point.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, I mean, like, how
for at least 3 years.
Yeah. So how much does the 700 million,
yeah,
you know, weigh up on your decision as opposed to having to pay him, you know, and pay him 100 million a year? So that's, so $1 billion over 3 years versus a much lesser transfer, but 150, 200 million a year are the same three. Right?
It would probably be worth around 700 million in the end anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you did something like City, who were like, we take you 2 years, and if you're playing if you're playing for City, you decide to stay at City rather than go to MLS, you'll be on the 200 mil, you know, 150 mil a year, maybe at that point 175 mil, or maybe a bit lesser, depending on how they've negotiated it, and then they go, if you're going to, like, MLS with us, you'll be on 100 mil a year as well, in that league, you'll be the highest paid player.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a pay cut, but you're in MLS as opposed to...
Well, that's the other line that he's got.
Yeah.
That they can offer him his retirement package. Like,
yeah.
Play with City until the next cup. After 2022, go play for New York in the MLS. Be the best player. We'll still pay you a decent wage. You can take it easy. You know, just play for fun until your thing. And then once you want to actually retire, hey, have a franchise. It's on us. Fine. Whatever.
If MLS and League Mexico merge, do you think they would entertain the idea of Messi starting an MLS franchise from Argentina?
Oh, that was getting really, really out there.
This is like, obviously, maybe 10 years down the track.
Yeah, yeah.
And it might not even be in anybody's plans, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes sense when you're merging to be like, we just want a good team in all these cities and, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility. That's a definite possibility. If they want to push for the merger of
FIFA will probably say no.
Yeah, yeah, obviously.
But if FIFA allowed it, because, you know, like, they just go, you know, they take him to court and stuff.
Yeah, what they'll do is they'll just point to the Phoenix and be like, what do you mean, no? You allowed the Wellington team to play in a different conference. Yeah, in different
confederations. Yeah, but FIFA specifically gave them the thing because they went, Australia used to be in that conference, and that's why it's allowed.
Yeah, yeah, but still, it's a thing that exists.
But a Mexican club could be like, yeah, well, you know, League Mexico's always played in South America. Why can't we have a team from League Mexico that's from Argentina and, like, Latin America? And, like,
Yeah, no.
I think that it'll be not art. It won't be that, obviously. But he could probably get a franchise in Mexico, like a Mexico City franchise, or
I mean, it is Messi. I wouldn't put it past him throwing that out there and be like, "Yep, play, you know, play for City. Once this get past next World Cup, go play for New York. Once you do that, look, we'll make you get a franchise. We can have it in Mexico City to start with, but long term." Hey, we'll sort something out. We'll make it happen so you can go back to Argentina and still have a franchise based out of Buenos Aires. Yeah.
Or maybe he'd own, like, the City Group's franchise in Argentina.
Yeah, also, who knows?
But, he could probably buy Newell E. Old Boys at that point.
Yeah. I mean, we're getting to crazy.
Yeah. What was your... Are we both predicting Liverpool to win?
Yeah, I think it's Liverpool and City again. I don't see anything...
I think Liverpool might get injuries this time.
Yeah, well, that's the question.
But I think City... Both of them finished last season on a bit of a low, and last season was only a couple of weeks ago for them. So this is why it will play a big thing. So I think this is why Arsenal managed to beat Liverpool in the Charity Shield. And I could see Arsenal doing well in a cup competition, maybe even compete for a Champions League spot.
Well, I think Arsenal's going to do better this year than what they've done over the last few years. I think that they've, you know, last year was the post-Wenger year.
Yeah.
I think they've mostly pulled themselves through, despite the Arsenal fans at work, you know, being very down on their team and very upset with how things. I think it was a very rocky year for them last year, but
yeah.
I think they should. They looked pretty good in the resumption, and you say they won the Community Shield. I don't see why they can't do well this year and be back into the fray.
Mm.
I still don't see them ending in the top four, but I think they'll do a better show of themselves this year. And same with Spurs.
And Arsenal could also compete well in the Europa League, so they should consider going hard in that league. I think if I were Mikel Arteta, that would be something I'd probably try to target.
Yeah. I think they will. I think they'll have the squad, the reasonable squad to do both. So it should be good. I mean, I despite the same workmates, you know, Arsenal fans being very down on their team as the last little bit, I think this year they'll do a lot better.
Mm.
I mean, they had a few good buys or acquisitions. They got Willian from us on a free, which is always nice.
Yeah. Heck, Arsenal might actually do well enough to finish above Tottenham, which they haven't done in a while.
Oh, yeah. That will make Arsenal fans happy.
Spurs are a team that are probably not going to have too many new players, and they are going to struggle next season, I think, under Mourinho. It's not a natural... The players there aren't a natural fit for his style.
No, it is... Yeah,
he doesn't have the money to, like, make wholesale changes.
Yeah, exactly. It is going to be interesting with his manager this year and see how his managerial style fits with a team that he can't just completely change to suit his whims. And just looking at their current transfers, if nothing stands out as anything amazing.
Yeah.
Holberg from Southampton, Joe Hart from Burnley, Matthew Doherty from Wolves. I mean, decent players, but nothing amazing.
Yeah.
So, it depends if they get anything between now and the start. Who knows? But looking like Mourinho's going to have to deal with the squad as is.
Yeah, and convince Harry Kane not to leave.
There is that as well. And that could be the more interesting bit of their pre-season, really, does Kane stay.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, if Barcelona are getting 100-plus million for Messi, I do a swap deal for Griezmann with Kane.
Yeah, they'll have some good money to throw around. They might not even have to do a swap deal at that point. They could maybe just throw money at Kane or at Tottenham and be like, we want Kane. Give us Kane.
Yeah, but I think depending on how late in the season, Tottenham might be like, we need a replacement. You don't have to give us Griezmann. Maybe we'll take him on a loan.
Yeah.
With an option to buy, if depending on how he plays for us. Because he had a bad season at Barca, like 9 goals all season.
Yeah, I suppose that's good.
And Barcelona need goals, like, and he plays the exact position as Kane. Like, I guess that he could be there as a backup at that point.
Yeah, no, it'd be interesting. Yeah.
And I don't think Spurs are in a position to turn down $100 million.
Yeah.
Because, or $150 million, because, you know, Harry Kane is good. If they have an offer like that from anyone, yeah. I think Spurs will have to consider it.
They definitely have to, that's, I mean, when Barca throw, you know, sell Messi, they have the money to throw at them to make it, like, you can't turn the an offer that the Spurs can't refuse.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, and, but that's going to be the other interesting thing, once again, been off topic, but, you know, post-Messi Barca, and how that looks and lines up. And do they need Kane, as opposed to Griezmann, for that? Or someone in that mould? It's things. So, yeah, the Spurs, I guess, yeah. Do they get someone? Can they hold on to Harry Kane?
Yep. Even Son.
Yeah, or Son, I suppose they say, or Son. A few names in there that might go. But I guess that's a bit, you know, it's kind of shine on Mourinho.
Yeah.
Can he work Mourinho magic with Tottenham? Yeah. And Tottenham, they've been a good team. They've been a good team, but the last couple of seasons they've been a bit more than ordinary, really. So, might stretch Mourinho's managerial abilities, but if he can do it, you have to give it to the man. I mean,
yeah.
At that point, he is the chosen one, and the special one, and they're all the ones.
If you can even get them back to the Champions League.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, yeah. Almost being better than what they were the last couple of seasons. I think that's kind of big.
Finish above Arsenal, right? That'll probably be Spurs' goal.
That's always goal number one, right? Finish above Arsenal. Everything else is a bonus.
Now, who do you see struggling for relegation next season?
Just about everybody else, I think. I mean, the promoted teams.
The promoted teams, all three, are probably going to have some struggles with relegation. One of those teams might jump ahead somehow, but I don't see it. I think all three will.
I think all three.
Because also, there isn't as much money for them to get without their gate.
Yeah, that's
their one
be the
season. They'll only be getting the TV, which is really unfortunate. So
that is unfortunate. I mean, it's still
if
pretty.
They do want to stay as much as they can. They're really motivated to do so because anybody who doesn't get relegated next season gets the whole.
Yeah. So I would assume the TV rights are still a bigger chunk of it.
I think they had to pay back some TV rights because of how the season was.
Oh, right, yeah.
I mean, it happened last season, so.
Yeah, well, who knows then? But, you know, relegation, those three, West Ham, Southampton, Sheffield United, Newcastle. I mean, everybody, really.
Yep.
Even potentially the likes of, well, Brighton, definitely. Yeah, Aston Villa. Likes of Burnley, Crystal Palace. You know, Everton, even.
It's so hard because we could often make a lot of predictions based on how teams finished. But I think because of COVID, it's really hard to say how it's going to progress and who's going to be able to get players in the last minute.
Yeah.
My gut feel is this is West Ham's last. West Ham's going to be relegated this season. That's going to be a big prediction because their ownership is a shambles and there's issues all around in that team. They are cruising there, and I can see a lot of good players leave that club or lose form.
Actually, thinking about it, as you're saying that, if I'm going to go predicting relegation, I'm actually thinking maybe the promoted teams, assuming they can, all three of them are reasonably well structured at the moment.
Yep.
So I think these two of them perhaps staying up, and say West Ham, they must be running on their last legs. You know, things have to break soon. They've been saying this like the last three or four seasons that, you know,
and if Zaha leads Crystal Palace, they're going to be relegated.
Oh, yeah. And
I'm just saying it out right now.
And I don't know if Aston Villa can. Last year they were a shambles and only just managed to stay up. I don't know if they can manage it a second year in a row. So.
I feel like one, Aston Villa, Sheffield United are both vulnerable.
Yeah.
If they don't start well, then one of those two will be relegated. At least one of those two.
Yeah.
And one of the promoted teams. That's what my three predictions. And West Ham.
Yeah.
West Ham, I'm not sure of.
Yeah. I'm pretty much with you there. West Ham, probably Aston Villa, maybe Sheffield United if things go, you know, one of those two, as you say. And then one of the promoted teams. Say, maybe if Zaha leaves Crystal Palace, you know, all bets are off then, you know, that's the next one in there. But even then, Crystal Palace has shown the ability to stay up.
I think will not. Wolves have too much quality. They'll push in the top. And I think Everton will not be in the relegation.
I think, like last year, Everton might be a bit in the relegation battle for more of the season than they really want to be in the relegation battle for. But once again, they'll pull out of it. Wolves, they've shown over the last few seasons, they're not relegation fodder anymore. They're Europa Cup battler teams now. That's their position. I mean, that's where Everton should be. But last season,
Carlo Ancelotti.
Yeah.
And, they can get the players, and I think Carlo can get good results out of them. So they could sneak into a Europa spot.
You make a good point. Ancelotti, they're not going to get relegated. Ancelotti could track them out of that somehow. His management is just extraordinary. But I was just going off the last couple of seasons where they've just failed to impress, I think, so. Right, but and have been in that relegation battle or close to it. Closer than you would think Everton would be, and definitely closer than they would want to be. But I guess, they're still going to be around 10th or 11th. Sure, they'll be fine.
I think so. So do you have any bold predictions other than...
No, I think nothing's really standing out to me.
Will Barca finish outside the Champions League qualifier spots if Messi leaves?
No. They still have decent enough, and they'll have decent enough cash to throw a replacement. I have a decent wage gap to be able to afford a replacement. They've still got a decent squad without Messi. It's not like the squad's horrible without him. So they're still going to be a top team.
I'll be honest, Barca this season have looked ordinary when without Messi.
I mean, this is their first season, I think, for quite some time where they have won zero silverware. So it was a horrendous season for them. But I think even without Messi, that's the worst it's going to get. If Messi leaves, they get a replacement.
Yeah.
That's the thing to remember. Like, they'll have the money. They were horrible without Messi while still paying for Messi. Without Messi and not paying for Messi, they have someone else. And sure, it's still going to be not Messi, but at least it's someone. Yeah. And whether that's Harry Kane or someone else, half fills that hole. And they can they can change. Also, they were horrible when playing a structure that has Messi at the centre of it without Messi. So if you get rid of Messi, you change your structure. Like, they won't play the same football anymore. They'll have a different way of playing, because they won't have Messi, so they can't play that.
Yeah.
So it'll be similar, it'll still be the Barcelona way, but different. So they won't be quite as horrible as they were the last season without Messi, when they didn't have Messi around. But they won't be awesome, and I don't think without Messi they're not going to be Champions League potentials. And potentially will struggle to win silverware anywhere as well. But they just won't. They'll still be a good team.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think that's going to potentially dominate this early part of the season much more than just about anything else, even Rovers. Like, especially if Missy leaves. It's determined one way or the other what's happening. And that is the news over the transfer market. Everything else is just going to be background noise. Once it's decided one way or the other, if he does leave, then where he goes to, once he gets there, like, what does it look like, but then also, filling up any additional bits of the airways will be, what happens to Barca? How are they going to go? I think more eyes will be on the Spanish League and La Liga this year, if he does leave, even if he stays, because then there's the question, Barca going to go with after Messi's thrown his weight around like that? Is it just a power play to get management changes, and the management changes come through and he withdraws? This is his request. What impact does that have on the rest of the squad? What impact does that have on Barcelona's club? Who knows? Is it same old because Messi's always got his way? This is a bit more publicly.
Exactly. But we'll find out, I'm sure, in the next week or two.
Season starts, 2 weeks time?
Yeah.
We're sure to have known by then. We sort of have to know by then, I guess, a little bit. I don't know when is all of Europe transfer windows closing? Spanish league? close at the start of the season as well, or do they have that open?
Yeah, I think everybody's closed their window at the same time this
year. There was always a bit of fun and games with things not quite lining up. I mean, if it wasn't sorted by the start of the EPL, it basically took three quarters of the running out of where you could go, so it sort of stops it being too interesting anyway, because most of the places you could go couldn't take them anymore, at least not until January.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think the only other thing to mention is, assuming I get this up this week, is reminding everybody about the Fantasy Football League.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Join the draft. September.
Yeah. 9 PM New Zealand Standard Time. Details on the blog and on the Facebook page, so.
Yep.
Hoping to get a few people signed up. There's a few people, I think there's 7, 8 in the Standard League. About the same in the draft at the moment, so.
Yeah. We'll see if my cousins want to join.
Yeah, I need to get my two cousins joined the draft league, but they haven't joined the standard league yet, I think, last time I looked.
Maybe Rizan might want to join.
Yeah.
My brother Arash as well.
Yeah, yeah. I've got put it out at work, so hopefully we get a good number.
Fingers crossed.
And I'll try and pay attention. Keep things updated.
But I think that's all we have time for. Until next time, thank you for being with us, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.